Right, and now we move on to a team who has really had a roller coaster of seasons. There's been plenty of highs, plenty of lows. Harry, what have your thoughts been on Liverpool's season this season? Because, you know, if you had said to anyone really, if you said to me, you know, the end of February that Liverpool would have finished third, I would not have believed you.
Yeah, I agree. I think the third place finish definitely flattered them. I think it was because they finished on a really strong May. That was basically helped them.
Well, after losing at Anfield to Fulham, they hadn't lost a game in the league since. You know, and so, like you say, that May, you know, winning 5 out of 5, you know, including at Old Trafford, you know, I think that sort of gave them the final push that they needed to, you know, get through and manage to get top four. I think Diogo Jota coming back was a big, you know, it was a big boost to the team. I think he's definitely, you know, but he was definitely missed during those, you know, late winter periods. And yeah, there was just like an uptake in terms of form. You know, players like Trent had a brilliant end to the season, really. You know, Nat Phillips stepped up in a big way. Thiago looked more like the Thiago we saw at Bayern Munich. Salah was brilliant throughout the season. But, you know, the whole squad just seemed to raise the game towards the end of the season. I think Klopp must have piled on the pressure. And at the end of the day, the squad delivered. And, you know, when Van Dijk comes back, when Gomez comes back, when Konate comes into the team, you know, we will probably be seeing Liverpool up there challenging for the league next season, definitely, I think, anyway.
I don't know how they're going to configure Konate into the team when Van Dijk, Gomez and Matip's back. Because I think Phillips is also deserving of, you know, a few games. Because I was a bit sceptical of him, but after the May night game, that kind of turned my sort of opinion of him.
Yeah, he's just a monster in terms of, you know, in the air especially. He's, for a player who's only young, he's only 23, he's got such a physical presence about him. You know, he just dominates his own area. You know, and he can pick out a pass as well. Sort of, you know, similar, obviously not in terms of quality, but in terms of play style, it is sort of similar to how Van Dijk, you know, commands his back line, how he's, you know, dominant in the air, how he can pick out a pass. Obviously, he's not as good as Van Dijk, he's nowhere near as good as Van Dijk. But just in terms of how they play, they're both, you know, very similar. And I think that, you know, if the rumours are true that, you know, Liverpool are trying to cash in on Phillips because they've got Konate, they've got Matip, they've got Gomez, they've got Van Dijk, if they are trying to sell Phillips, I think that's a shame for Phillips, but he does definitely deserve regular game time in the Premier League. And if you can't get it at Liverpool, then you might as well get it somewhere else.
Who's favourite to get him?
I know that we've been linked to him quite a bit, obviously, with James Tarkowski being quite heavily linked with Leicester. I know that, you know, we've been linked with Phillips quite a little bit. I'm sure there's other clubs who would be interested in him as well if he was, you know, to be made available on the market. But yeah, I think he would fit us like a glove, definitely. I think if he were to come here in as a replacement to Tarkowski, I think he'd fit in, you know, perfectly well. But yeah, I think any, you know, sort of, well, any Premier League club really, apart from, you know, Man City, really, and maybe arguably Chelsea, he gets into that starting lineup for me. I think he's brilliant, Nat Phillips.
I was going to say, I think he suits you very well because he's got that big aerial presence. He's able to play from the back. And really weirdly, he has really good dribbling, like we saw against Man United, where he had this really good close control before distributing it. The goal, yeah. So, how old is he? Like 23?
23, I think. Yeah, I mean, you know, for a player, well, I'm not going to say for a player that young, because he's not that young, but he's still, you know, got, for a centre-half, you've got a good, you know, 10, 11 years in you, at least. So, yeah, definitely, I think Phillips, you know, for a club like, you know, Burnley, or, you know, I think any of the bottom half Premier League clubs, really, I think he goes straight into their starting lineup. Yeah, I just think he's brilliant, Matt Phillips.
How much will Liverpool be looking for?
Apparently, and I'm not sure how reliable this is, but I think this would be pretty fair. They're looking for a fee of around 15 to 20 million for Phillips.
Oh, wow, okay.
Which I think, you know, for a player that's, you know, he's young, he's got a decent length on his contract. You know, for as good as he is. But he has only really played, you know, not even a full season yet. I think that's a fair price for a player, you know, who's shown this sort of quality this season. And yeah, I think wherever he goes, even if he stays at Liverpool, I know he's been quite open about the fact that, you know, he wants to fight for his place at Liverpool. I think wherever he ends up next season, I think, you know, if he does get game time, I think that, yeah, definitely he'll be more than, you know, excellent for whoever he ends up lining up for next season. Yeah, it's brilliant. I love Phillips. I could gush over him all day.
I had, like, more in my head because of the way that they've gotten teams to pay out the nose for Brewster, Solanke. Is Harry Wilson still on their books?
Yeah, he's on loan at Cardiff this season. You know, they were trying to get us to pay 15 million for him, but we wouldn't. So he went on loan to Cardiff this season. And off the top of my head, he's done all right, but I think his stats are quite inflated by set pieces. Yeah, as you can see, he's got 11 assists, and he's got, let me just double check. Yeah, 7 goals and 11 assists, but the majority of them come from free kicks.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say penalties. Right.
No, he doesn't take penalties at Cardiff. But yeah, he is a bit of a he's a dead ball specialist, definitely Harry Wilson. But, you know, I think in terms of everything else in his game, I think he's definitely a championship player, in my opinion, anyway. I mean, he could get better. I mean, he's only 23, but, you know. And I mean, there's a lot of dead wood, really, on Liverpool's books at the moment. I mean, you know, there's talks about them signing quite a few players. Obviously, they've already brought in Konate. But I think, you know, they just need to shift on, you know, these players who haven't performed for them this season and just aren't good enough, you know. Players like Origi, players like Shaqiri, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, you know, arguably you could say Naby Keita as well. You know, these players who haven't stepped up for him. There's definitely a lot of funds that they could raise Liverpool without missing too much.
Would you get rid of, like, players like Ben Woodburn?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Woodburn, he looked good, you know, in spurts. But, you know, he's never going to be in that Liverpool team. Like, you know, I think he's been overtaken by Curtis Jones, really. So, you know, he's never going to be a starting player for Liverpool. So, you know, players like that, it's just best to, you know, cash in, really. Rather than letting them rot, and then when they're like 25, 26, then deciding to sell them.
What about Harvey Elliott?
Yeah, I don't know about Harvey Elliott. I think he could possibly do with another loan move, arguably to a Premier League club. I think he's done really well this season on loan at Blackburn. You know, he's for a club like Blackburn, who were, you know, bottom half championship club, he's been basically one of two players that have stood out for him as Elliot. And I think that, yeah, definitely. I think he will be a starting player for Liverpool in the future. I mean, he's only 18 years old and he's been, been really good in the Championship this season. But I don't think he's ready for it yet. I think another loan move definitely would do him good. You know, maybe to somewhere like, Brighton or, someone like that. I think that would really suit him.
Brighton
or Southampton or Norwich, so one of those sorts of clubs.
Well, yeah, Norwich are going to lose Buendia, so yeah, they will need to fill in that right side.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a, that's a brilliant signing for Villa. Arsenal were linked with him as well, but you don't know how much, really you can play into that. But, you've got to think you've got Buendia, added on to... you'd think he's probably going to be like the Ross Barkley replacement, but you've got Buendia added on to players like Grealish, like Watkins, like Traore. In midfield, you've got players like Louise, McGinn, Sanson. You've got plenty of talent in the final third, definitely that Villa team. That'd be a brilliant signing for him. Norwich will need to replace him, and someone like an Elliot could do a job there, definitely.
Have they got any other young players? I'm trying to think.
Liverpool. I think Curtis Jones is going to be getting more and more game time, really. Neco Williams is apparently wanted by a few clubs on loan. I think the three names that I can remember being linked with him are Norwich, Barnsley and Burnley. So I think a loan move could do him good, definitely. I don't think he's ready to be playing regularly for Liverpool yet. And I think the same about Reece Williams as well. I think that, he could do with a loan move. I think he's looked decent in spurts as Reece Williams, but I think, he doesn't have that sort of consistency yet. He doesn't have that sort of presence to be a Premier League quality centre-half, I don't think, anyway. So I think them two, Neco and Reece Williams could definitely benefit from loan moves out.
Do you think Minamino will go to Saints?
I don't know, really. It's a tricky one. I think that I'm not sure. I'm just going to look up, actually, if there is an option to buy included in the loan, because, that could end up being the deciding factor. There's an £18 million option to buy at the end of the season, Minamino, he hasn't really done all that for Southampton, really. I mean, he's been fine, I guess. But...
I can think of that Newcastle game where he scored that amazing sort of solo run.
Mm.
That's the sort of only standout performance I can think of.
Exactly, yeah. He's been pretty quiet for Southampton. And for Liverpool, he barely got a look in, besides, quarter of an hour here and there off the bench. So, he's not had the best of times at Southampton, I'll say.
Well, Saints do need squad depth, so
They do, but, are they willing to pay £20 million for him is the question. I'm not sure whether they will or not. That's the thing. Because, how many times have... Southampton, spent that over the past few years. I mean, off the top of my head, you've got Danny Ings cost around about £20 million. But besides that, I can't really think of many other times where they've spent that sort of money. And for a player like Minamino, would you really want to spend that sort of money?
Well, I'm just looking. They spent 20 million on Sadio Mane.
Oh god, yeah, but how long ago were that though? Like,
yeah,
that'll have been like what, 2015?
Well, a lot of the like sort of big signings have been flops. Carrillo, Buffal, El Yunusi, Lamina, Gabbiadini, Poet. Genepo's a bit of an odd one.
I think with Genepo, really, I don't know. It is weird because, you know, he shows flashes of brilliance, but he never shows that sort of consistent quality about him. He only has flashes, really.
Other players are like Gaston Ramirez, Daniel Osvaldo, Shane Long. Their biggest ever signing is Yannick Vestergaard, who I thought had a really good season.
Yeah, definitely. I think that he's sort of coming to his own, really. I think he struggled quite a bit last season. I think he struggled quite a bit, Vestergaard. But I think this season, definitely, he's coming to his own and proving himself to be, you know, a solid centre-half. You know, I think if you've got players like Bednarek there, you've got Salisu, who's a good up-and-coming centre-half. We've got options there at centre-half, definitely. But not to spend too much time on Southampton, because we've already talked about them. But yeah, I mean, whether Minamino will go there, I don't think he will. I think if he does, it'll probably be another loan move. I don't think he'll be a permanent. But yeah, you know, that sort of adds to the fact that there's definitely quite a few players that Liverpool can afford to shift on and make a profit on. So.
Is there any more rumoured incomings?
For Liverpool?
Yeah.
I mean, none off the top of my head, but I can have a look for you.
I think on the crux of that, then, I don't think they're going to be able to compete for title because that Klopp team always has a burnout. This will be their fourth, fifth season under him. And they struggled with lack of depth, you know, this season, even though they did finish third. But I think that was due to Chelsea's poor start that kind of aided them in, you know, that, and then the strong finish. With Chelsea, City, and maybe Man United improving, I think they need to step up. I think it's Baker first and foremost. I really do not rate Firmino.
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you want Jota to do, really, whether you want him to play out wide or down the middle. I think he's definitely good enough to be a starting centre-forward if you have, you know, Mane on the left, who has had a poor season. But it's not been, you know, completely disastrous for Mane. It's not like he's had, you know, an awful season. I mean, 11 goals, 7 assists. I mean, you know, it's not up to the standards that Mane has produced in the past, but it's not awful. So if you had Mane on the left, you had Salah on the right, who's just been fantastic, you know, far and away Liverpool's player of the season, really. And then you have Jota up front for a full season. I think that could do all right. But if you are going to be selling players like Origi, like Shaqiri, you do need some, you know, players who you can bring off the bench to make an impact, because they don't really have that at the moment.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I find their fullbacks were dodgy at times. Robertson and Trent. Even though Trent have a strong finish at the end, I think Trent is more of a centre midfielder. You know, really strong with the ball at his feet, but kind of struggles to defend. And Austin is very much like throw shit at the walls to see what sticks.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Trent's defensive abilities are sort of underrated. I mean, he's not a brilliant defender by any means, but he's not, you know, it's not like he can't defend. Like, you know, he has had a couple of really good defensive performances this season. But, you know, if you are going to look for another right-back option, I think you probably do want one with a bit more stability, just so you, that you have those options there, you know, whether you want to play, you know, a more progressive, you know, high-intensity style, you know, someone who can pick out the long passes, who will get further forward. You can go with Trent, and then if you're playing, you know, expecting to be on the back foot a bit more, you can play the more conservative option. I think having those sorts of options definitely help. But I don't think Trent's, you know, disastrous. I still think, you know, he's definitely up there in terms of the world's right-backs, definitely. I don't think that, you know, he definitely did have a poor, you know, first half of the season. But I think the second half, he's definitely stepped up. I just think maybe it's a case of, like with Luke Shaw, who we'll get on to, you know, who was sort of trundling along for a couple of seasons. Obviously, the leg break didn't help. But as soon as Man United brought in Alex Tellez, he's really stepped up his game. And I'm wondering whether that could be the case with Trent, because his only competition really is Nico Williams, who, you know, let's face it, isn't good enough to start for Liverpool at this point in time anyway. So, yeah, I'm wondering whether, you know, if you do bring in another right-back option, especially if you are going to loan out Nico Williams, I think that is definitely something that they are going to do. And I just think that that could maybe, you know, sort of galvanise Trent, like it's done with Luke Shaw, sort of make him step up his game, advance it even further. But I do think his defensive side is slightly underrated. I don't think he's sort of calamitous at the back. And I think especially in the second half of the season, he has had a couple of really good defensive performances.
Well, when you say calamitous, the game that comes to mind is the Real Madrid one.
Mm. Well, yeah, but, you know.
That was the second half of the season.
Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying every single performance at the second half of the season has been, you know, brilliant defensively. And, yeah, defensively, you know, that is a weak part of his game. But what I'm saying is I think, you know, some people have the impression that he just can't defend, and I think that's unfair.
Oh yeah, I'm not in that, you know, opinion. I just think that, like you, it's his weak point.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't think there's many people that would deny that he is better going forward than he is defensively.
Well, speaking of Nico Williams, did you see his red card against France?
No, I didn't. Was
it? Oh my god! Would be one of the worst red cards to have ever been given in the history of the game.
What? As in, it was unfair, or it was a horrible tackle?
Well, yeah. First of all, it was a friendly, and secondly, he gave a penalty and a handball for something that was completely out of his control, and you know, it was like, they were close enough to have had, you know, a civil conversation, and the ball hits his hand and it gives a penalty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen that, you know, time and time again in the league this season. I mean, you know, like, how many...
A red, you know, well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, from what you've described there, that is just, you know, that does seem really unfair.
I believe the French players even, you know, said that's not a red.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, how many handball decisions have we seen this season that, you know, you can say, oh my God, that is so unfair. Like, it's just been constant, really. And I think the handball rule's changing next season, isn't it? So I think that's definitely a step in the right. I think they've said that they're going to change it to, like, I think there's somewhat like, there's got to be a certain distance, and there's, you know.
Okay.
So you'd assume that it would be better anyway. I mean, you know, it might not be, because they thought VAR was going to be better. But, you know, we'll wait and see, definitely.
The sleeve rule is interpretive. I think it should be elbow down. Because, you know, the sleeve thing is just so dumb.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, what you meant to do if a player wears long sleeves, then what you're going to do? Like, you know, so, yeah, I do think that that is kind of daft, definitely. I mean, especially if you consider, you know, the distance between the end of the sleeve and the elbow, it's not that much, so you might as well just say elbow down.
Mm-hmm. And that's less interpretive.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, because, I mean, you know, you can easily say, oh, well, that did hit his sleeve, so that's handball or whatever. But, and then you get another person saying, oh, that clearly didn't hit his sleeve. And then, you know, you open a whole can of worms there, and it's, you know, at least when it's elbow down, it's consistent, you know, in terms of, you know, body parts. I don't know. It would just be more consistent. Yeah, I agree with you.
They're not going to start getting, like, the lines out to see the distance between the ball and the arm, are they?
Well, I mean, you know, would you be surprised if they did?
Jesus.
We've gone really off topic there. Is there anything else you're wanting to say about Liverpool, or have we got to move on?
Let's move on.
Right, well, we'll go to Man United, who finishing second, obviously. It's their best finish since Mourinho got them second in 2018, I want to say. Yeah, it feels like United sort of trundled over the line a little bit. We've already talked about the Europa League final, but what are your thoughts about United's season as a whole?
I just feel like it was carried by certain individuals. I think it kind of solidifies that Solskjaer doesn't really know what he's doing, because I think with that squad, he should be winning trophies, not coming second place, you know, to, you know, I know City were incredible that season, but they should have made it tighter than it was, and also should have brought home at least one bit of silverware.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, sorry, I know I'm interrupting you there. At the same time, though, you can argue that, you know, Liverpool's squad's better and he finished above Liverpool. Chelsea's squad's on paper's better and he finished above them. You know, as you saying, you could make that. You could also argue, you know, well, he finished above teams that on paper are better than them.
I don't think man for man that Liverpool are better than them.
Really?
Yeah.
So if we went through that entire squad, you would argue that Man United squad is better?
I'm including squad depth here.
Right.
Because it is a long season, yes.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, you know, I mean, you could make the argument either way, but I just think that on paper, Liverpool do have the best squad.
Back four minus, you know, Van Dijk is better.
I don't know about that, really.
If you go Lindelof versus Van Dijk winning, but I think Maguire versus them, yes. Shaw versus them, yes.
You think Shaw's better than Robertson?
Yes.
Well, I think he's had a better season, but I wouldn't say he's the better.
Yeah, on the crux of the season, just that span of the season, yes.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know...
Well,
you could argue that's, you know, because of the way that Solskjaer's gotten playing this season. I'm just talking about on paper, in general, I would say that Robertson is the better left-back of the two.
But we're comparing the season. You know, that Man United should have gotten trophies this season.
Well, yeah. But But, you know, what I'm saying is that, you know, you're saying that, oh, the squad's better, the Man United squad's better on paper or whatever, but on paper doesn't really account for this season, does it? And that's what I'm saying is that if Shaw has performed better than Robertson this season, you know, I would say Robertson's the better player overall. And if you say that, then you've got to at least give some credit to Solskjaer for getting Shaw to play better than Robertson.
But like you mentioned,
it's like how you give credit to Sean Dyche for making the Burnley players overperform. Because on paper, that Burnley squad is not Premier League quality. It's like how, you know, you gave credit to Ranieri for Leicester winning the league. You know,
that was really miracle work from the tinkerer. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not comparing what Solskjaer's done to what Ranieri's done.
I think with the squad he's had, he's underachieved. Yes, he's got players playing, but I think that, you know, imagine Bruno under a manager with real, you know, experience under him, real achievements.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that Solskjaer's, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, he's as good as Guardiola or as good as Klopp or as good as Tuchel. But, you know, what I'm saying is I don't think he's tactically inept like some people like to make out. I think sometimes it can come.
He just sat there. His sole reliance is on the players. The players are good enough to play themselves out of the situation. I don't think he's. There's no sort of play style. You know, Bruno came in and turned.
There is definitely a play style. There's definitely a play style. I don't see how, you know.
I just don't see the game management. Thing.
Well, 9 times out of 10, it's, you know, letting the other team have the ball and hitting them on the break with the fast attackers that they have.
That's always been Man United. Get them on the counter.
Right, well, you know, so you could make the argument that any of them were tactically, you know, just because the, you know, a player who has played under Ferguson is adapting some of Ferguson's tactics, and you're saying that makes him tactically inept.
I don't think he's got good game management. I mean, the Villarreal game comes to mind. He just sat there and literally, against the underdog, wanted it to go to penalties.
Well, I think, you know, you could argue that he wanted it to go to penalties towards the end, but I think definitely in the 90 minutes, United were going for it. It's just the Villarreal players defended too well. I think, you know, Man United played into Villarreal's hands because Villarreal let them have the ball, and that's not what Man United like to do. You know, I don't think that's necessarily all in not having a game plan. I just think it's that Villarreal executed their game plan better because of mainly the experience that Unai Emery has compared to the experience that Ole has.
Yeah, and a good manager would think, okay, this isn't working, let's try something else. He doesn't seem like he's someone who has a plan B. His appointment was on the basis of nepotism than, oh, hey, here comes, you know, a great former player with, you know, management material, because he's got a relegation on his resume more recent than a trophy.
Well, so does Sean Dyche. So do a lot of great managers. That doesn't make them...
Yes,
not
but
good. I mean, if you put Pep Guardiola at West Brom, he's not going to be able to save West Brom. Like, you know.
Yeah, yes, but Sean Dyche is not at a big six club, is he?
Well, yeah, but it's not like Solskjaer got relegated with United, is it?
He got relegated with Cardiff. Yeah.
Yeah. Who'd just come up?
Yeah, but he won a league title with Molde in Norway. Comes over and then gets relegated with a Cardiff squad, which, okay, yeah, that's, yeah, but he hadn't won, he's been there, how long has he been there?
3 years, isn't it?
Huh?
3 years, isn't it?
Exactly, and there's no trophy.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you look at where United were when he took over compared to where United are now, there has been an improvement.
Yes, and I think that's down to Bruno.
So you're putting Man United's improvement in the past 3 years solely down to one player who they signed 6 months ago. Not 6 months ago, sorry, but who they signed 18 months ago. Yeah. You're no, putting all that development in the past 3 years down to one player.
Well, I think that is a broad statement, but the majority of their goals come from him.
Yeah, no, that is fair. The fact that, you know, when Fernandes isn't in the Man United team, they do look a lot worse. But, you know, you can make that argument about a lot of teams. You know, if you take out one of the key players, they look a lot worse. If you take De Bruyne out of Man City, they look a lot worse.
But they've still got Gundogan. They've still got Bernardo Silva. They've still got Sterling. Jesus.
Yeah, and Man United have Fred.
Yeah, but they have Rashford. They have Cavani. Greenwood.
Yeah, and Cavani's played really well this season.
Huh?
And Cavani's played really well this season.
Yes, but taken out Bruno should not drastically affect the team to the point where they're losing games. If you take De Bruyne out of that City team, yes, they're going to be less creative, but they're still going to win the game.
Well, they didn't against Chelsea.
He played the game.
Yeah, and he came off in first half.
Yeah. But I think that's down to Tuchel having Pep's number. I don't think even with De Bruyne they could have, you know, done something, to be honest. Because we restricted the way that they could play.
Oh, so when Chelsea restricts the way Man City play, it's down to tactical genius from Tuchel, and it's not to do with Pep. But when Villarreal do the same to Man United, it's all Ollie's fault.
Well, Villarreal are not as good as Chelsea.
Yeah, and Man United aren't as good as Man City.
Manager, but I think the personnel, Man United had better man for man. They had players that could have got in behind, like Rashford. Cavani caused a lot of issues. I think.
You can make the same argument for Man City. Man City had the better team on paper.
They
just like
have
how
Thiago Silva at the back. They have Raul Albiol.
Yeah, who's played brilliantly in Europa League this season.
Yes, but
not just in that final.
Resume of Thiago Silva, does he?
Well, just because a player doesn't have a good resume doesn't mean they're brilliant. I mean, Harry Kane's never won a trophy.
True, but his goals speak loudly.
Well, you're not going to get a centre-back scoring 20 goals a season, are you?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but it was, you know, Napoli. It was barely a regular for them. Maybe my bias for Man United is showing, but I just don't...
I think it is, definitely.
But I think Solskjaer... He has improved them, but I think that squad's definitely capable of coming away after 3 years with trophies. It's Manchester United. The expectation is silverware. It's not even an expectation. It's you have that should be the bare minimum.
Yeah, and that's something that Ole has said, is that, you know, he considers this season, you know, not to be successful because they didn't win silverware. And yeah, that's not something that I'm trying to argue. I just feel like you're being a bit unfair towards Ole, saying that he doesn't have a clue.
I think the lack of experience definitely feeds into that.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, you compare him to, you know, top managers who have won, you know, titles, won European trophies, like Guardiola, like Tuchel, like Pep. They've all won the Champions League, and, you know, Ole hasn't. And I think that definitely shows. You know, but I don't think he's a bad manager by any stretch of the means.
Well, I don't think that either, but I think with the squad he has, they, like he said, underachieved.
Yeah, no, I do think they should have won the Euro... On paper, they should have won the Europa League. But I don't think, you know, that's down to just Ole. I think some of the players have to take the blame themselves. Like, Rashford did not turn up in that final. I don't think you can blame the fact that he performed utter shite on Ollie. You know, when he had the ball, he did nothing with it. That's not solely Ollie's fault. I mean, you can blame him for certain stuff, definitely. But the player's not turning up. You can't really blame that on Ollie.
I just didn't... I found it was kind of like a Bielsa approach. It was kind of... He sat there and watched the game happen. There wasn't much man management. He didn't have a plan B. It was... Well, actually, he did have a plan B towards the end, see it out for penalties, and that didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work, yeah.
So, I can't, FA Cup, who did they go out to?
City won that.
Let's see.
I think it was. Oh, no, it was Leicester, sorry, who ended up winning it.
Okay, that's fair enough. Carabao Cup, I think we knocked them out.
Maybe? No, City knocked them out of the Carabao Cup, who ended up going on to win it.
Okay, right, okay then. Were they in the Community Shield?
No, that was Liverpool Arsenal.
Man, Arsenal won that. Yeah, I think Liverpool may not. I think they both underachieved for the squads they had. Second and third, yes, very good finishes, but I think recruitment is desperately needed for both.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it doesn't seem. But by the sounds of it, it doesn't seem like Liverpool are going to do that outside of Konate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll wait and see. I mean, most clubs don't do any sort of business until, you know, after the Euros. You know, we've still got, you know, the window shuts in, what, late September, is it this season? So, you know.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, so we've still got a good 3 months to do transfer business, right? Yeah. I'm sure that there will definitely be new faces brought in, both on Merseyside and in Manchester. I think, you know, personally, I think Jadon Sancho at Man United is an inevitability at this point. But I mean, we'll wait to see who else comes in. I mean, there's, you know, been links to like.
Okay, then how do you configure Sancho into that team?
Well. You put Sancho, obviously you put Sancho on the right because that's his best position. You've got Bruno as the number 10. You've got Cavani up front, who will rotate with Greenwood most likely. Greenwood and Martial, because Cavani can't play 38 games a season. And then you've got Rashford, who can play on the left alongside Pogba, who can play on the left. You know, there's rotation there.
I was thinking Greenwood's better out on the right.
I personally think Greenwood's better out on the right as well, but it seems like long-term, United see him more as a striker than, you know, an inside forward, like they've converted Rashford into.
Well, I was thinking that it would be Sancho versus Greenwood, but the way you've put it is he's got that spot guaranteed.
Well, he will have that spot guaranteed if they bring him in. I mean, they're not going to bring in an 80, 90 million pound winger and not have him be a regular starter.
Well, yeah, that's true. I was just thinking, just ease him in like we did with Havertz.
Because,
you know, you're coming from a different league.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it is a little bit different considering, you know, Sancho. It's not like Havertz where, you know, he has to, you know, assimilate to the culture, learn the language, as well as, you know, familiarise himself with English football. I mean, Sancho was raised in English football. I mean, you know, he is English. He speaks English. He came through the Man City Academy. He knows what English football's about. You know, I don't think that he will take as long to assimilate as a player who, you know, is coming from abroad, who doesn't speak the language, you know.
Do you know what team Sancho was at prior to City?
I don't, but I've got a feeling that you're going to tell me.
Yeah, it's Watford.
Really?
Yeah, and I missed out on a big player.
All right. Well, I mean, I knew it was Southern, but yeah, I didn't know he came through Watford. I just assumed that he moved up north. When he was, just a kid. That surprises me, that. Yeah. Mind you, a player like Sancho, they're not going to keep hold of him, are they?
It says that when he was 14, he left for Man City for 500,000. That's ridiculous for a 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Dortmund are going to make that money back, but that for a 14-year-old, that is ridiculous. No doubt.
Dortmund bought him when he was 17 for 8 million.
Mm. Which again, is another ridiculous fee.
Yeah.
But again, they're going to make that back. I mean, I think that's why, we saw Dortmund spend all that money on Jude Bellingham. It's because it's worked before with Sancho, spending a lot of money on a 17-year-old, someone who hasn't even done their A-levels yet.
Mm. Well, I believe we spent 1 million on a 15-year-old Gilmore.
Gilmore, yeah. Yeah, I mean, fees in football have become ridiculous. I mean, spending 1 million on someone who hasn't even done his GCSEs,
Have you seen that interview with him at school?
No, I haven't.
He does. He's in loads of voice crack compilations. Shall we move on to the Campeones?
Yeah, we can do. I mean, there's not really too much to be said that we haven't been saying all season, really. I mean,
Well, I think it ended in bitter disappointment, to be honest. I think they were really aiming for that quadruple, then became a treble, then double, and they almost went from this all conquering team to sort of coming away with only two.
Yaya Toure's curse that he put on Man City seems to be still in effect.
The curse? What?
Have you not heard about that?
No.
Yeah, there was an interview in 2016, 2017, when Yaya Toure left Man City on pretty bad terms with Guardiola.
Was that his birthday, wasn't it?
I think that was sort of a culmination of stuff.
Oh, okay.
He said in an interview that his family put an African curse on Man City that they won't win the Champions League in the history of the club, and so far that's still going ahead. So must have been a decent curse.
Jesus. I think that there's a. Have you ever heard of the Benfica curse?
Yes, I have. That's mad, that, because it's still going on for 60 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a few curses in football, really. When you think more, you think about it.
Wasn't there one with Australia had to get a witch doctor to try and overturn it?
Well, I haven't heard of that. You might be right, but I haven't heard that.
Yeah, they had to get an Aboriginal doctor to overturn a curse because they couldn't qualify for a World Cup. So, basically, they went to play a friendly against Iran, and apparently a witch doctor said a curse. And then in 2017, they got a Mozambique bloke to overturn it. And they were at the 2018 World Cup after that, so Do you remember that Cahill goal against Netherlands?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they ended up finishing fourth, didn't they, in the group, I think.
Yeah, but what a goal.
Oh, yeah, it was a banger. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, there might be something to this Yaya Toure curse.
You have to get a witch doctor to overturn it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Pep must... Well, I was about to say Pep must be tearing his hair out, but, I mean, I think that went long ago. But, yeah, I mean, Pep must be absolutely, you know, going crackers with the fact that he's not won a Champions League with Man City, because, you know, he should have done, realistically, and this season, more than any, you know, it was his best chance to, you know, you have Bayern Munich going out to PSG, you have Barcelona and Real Madrid not, you know, being good enough. You've got, you know, like Juventus went out early. You know, PSG, you know, collapsed against Man City, really. You know, this was their best chance that they had to win it, and they absolutely blew it. And you just got to think, is it ever going to happen for him?
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's... I mean, it's their first final in their history. I mean, it's not going to go right the first time. You know, you live and you learn. So, I think...
Well, I mean, as a Chelsea fan, you know all about that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we'd lost the FA Cup final, and we were making sure that we weren't going to have that happen again.
Well, no, I was more on about 2008.
Thanks. Yeah. Cheers.
No, but you know, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, that you ended up losing that on penalties, but then, you know, was it 5 or 4? 2013, wasn't it, when you won?
2012,
right. But yeah, what I'm saying, you know, you learned from that, and then 4 years later, you came around and won it. So, you know.
Was an interim manager. Then we got
who didn't even last the entirety of next season, which I think is absolutely mad. But
I mean, we could go through the, a load of managers who were sacked prematurely, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, we could be here all day doing that. But yeah, I mean, you know, besides that, though, really, it has been, you know, pretty much Man City in cruise control all season. They've not really been contested, especially that sort of stretch from, you know, December up until about, you know, March time. You know, they were cruising, basically.
Well, I don't know whether this is, like, patriotic bias, but Mourinho called Ruben Diaz best centre-back in the world.
I mean,
leave him. I really do rate him.
I mean, at the time, he probably was. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, people have sort of not forgotten, but I think that people are sort of dismissing Van Dijk now for some reason, which I don't really understand. You know, just because of his injury, what's that?
Well, he's going to come back rusty, isn't he?
Well, I mean...
He'll get in his groove eventually, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, sort of just forgetting the fact that for a good 3 years, he was, you know, probably the best centre-back in the world. But, you know, I mean, he's definitely up there, Diaz. I mean, you know, I can't claim to watch, you know, too much foreign football, but I think definitely in the Premier League, he's... You know, it's 1A and 1B, definitely.
There's a few players that come to mind. I don't think they come close to Ruben Diaz.
Yeah, I mean, Diaz has made John Stones look like John Terry. So, you know, he's definitely... You know, as much as Kane deserves it as well, I definitely do think that Diaz deserves his PFA Player of the Year award, mainly because, you know, the fact that how he's transformed that Man City defence from, you know, one that is vulnerable, that could leak goals, to one that, you know, has been rock solid for the majority of the season.
I think that Portugal side, particularly at the back, is going to be very tough to break down.
Well, I mean, you've got Ruben Dias alongside, you know, the two elder statesmen in Fonte and Pepe.
And then you've got Cancelo.
Cancelo as a fullback, yeah. Well, that whole Portugal team's really good, to be fair. But yeah.
That's very true.
But yeah, I mean,
would you call this season a disappointment for City, considering?
No, you can't say it's a disappointment if you've won two trophies. They'll be disappointed that they didn't win the Champions League final, but any club will be disappointed if they didn't win the Champions League final. That doesn't mean the season as a whole is a disappointment.
Yeah, but many had touted them to go for the quadruple. I think this was the best chance of any team to have done that domestically.
And I agree with you, but just because they only won two trophies.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with you. Yeah. I think disappointment. Mild disappointment, I guess.
They'll be disappointed they didn't win the Champions League when, you know, they had the better team on paper. But I'm sure they won't be disappointed about the season as a whole, especially considering they dominated the league.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, and last season, they were a distant second to Liverpool. So.
Oh, yeah. I just wonder what their transfer plans are going to be.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think it'll be more of the same. Obviously, they've brought in those two Brazilian youngsters, haven't they? From, where is it? Was it Fluminense?
Oh, yeah, Fluminense, yeah.
Yeah, they spent like 20 million on two Brazilian youngsters. Obviously, you know, seeing what they did with Gabriel Jesus and trying to improve on that. Wanting him probably to be more like Neymar than Jesus. I think we're going to see more of the same, really, of the, because the thing is with City is they don't go out and buy too many, you know, ready-made superstars. You know, I mean, you look at the transfer policy this season, you know, they brought in Nathan Ake, who got relegated with Bournemouth. They brought in Ferran Torres, who was good, but he wasn't stand out in La Liga for Valencia. You brought in Ruben Dias, who, you know, whilst he was good for Benfica, he wasn't, you know, a proven commodity yet. And I think we'll see more of the same, really. I think they will definitely be bringing in a centre-forward. I'm not really sure who that is. I don't think it'll be either Kane or Haaland. I don't think either of them will leave their clubs in this summer. But it will be interesting to see which centre-forward they do bring in, because, you know, whether they do go for the sort of mould that they've gone for in the past of bringing in, you know, a player who hasn't exactly been, you know, set the world on fire, but they have shown quality, or whether they go for, you know, a player who has, you know, scored 20 goals in a season.
Ivan Toney.
Yeah. Ivan Toney definitely wouldn't be found out in a Man City team.
What do you think? Well, they can definitely afford Lewandowski, and he's played under Pep before. Do you think that's a possibility?
No, I think. Why would Lewandowski want to go somewhere else? I'm sure he's perfectly happy at Bayern Munich. I mean, why wouldn't he be? He's scoring for fun, and at 30 years old. You know, he'll be comfortable at Bayern Munich. I mean, the fans love him. Everyone at Bayern Munich loves him. He clearly loves Germany. And I don't think, even if he did want to leave, I don't think Bayern Munich would want to sell him. So, yeah.
Well, you said a few episodes ago he was available for 70 million.
I said that?
Yes.
Oh, well, I must have been chatting out my arse then. He's definitely not.
And I was shocked at that, because, you know, He's an absolute goal machine.
Well, if I did, I can't remember saying that, but if I did say that, I apologise, because, yeah, it is definitely, that was definitely wrong.
So, if a club came in with 70 million for Lewandowski, you think Bayern would turn it down?
Yeah, definitely. I think if a club came in with 100 million, they'd turn it down.
I don't know whether he'd have a buyout clause.
Oh, true, actually. I hadn't thought of that. I'll have a look to see if he does have a release clause.
I don't know whether that's a mandatory thing.
I know it's mandatory in Spain.
Yeah.
He has a buyout clause of 150 million euros. What I might have said was the most recent contract that he has signed was worth 70 million in total, so I might have got mixed up.
Right, okay.
But he has a release clause of 150 million euros, which is about 120 million pounds.
And he's 31?
I think he's 30. Well, I could be wrong.
A lot of money.
But, he's 32.
Right.
But, I mean, you do have to consider, you know, I'm just doing some quick maths here, but he has got a goal or assist every 53 minutes this season for Bayern Munich. So if any player is worth, if any 32-year-old is worth that, it's definitely Lewandowski.
I think you get Mbappe for double that, and you're going to get even longer out of him.
Yeah. But I don't think Mbappe's going to leave either, to be honest with you.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see who they do replace Aguero with, because he will be a big miss for Man City.
Oh, actually, I just remembered this. On top of Aguero and Eric Garcia leaving, the Premier League announced that Fernandinho were going to be on the release list, but City are yet to confirm that.
So I was about to say, from what I heard, I think it was a case of you had to submit a list of players who were going to be, who are going to be released or who aren't set to sign on for next season. But I think City is still trying to work out a contract with Fernandinho. That's from what I heard anyway.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if that were to happen, that would be a big loss. Mm. But I don't think it would be a huge loss as it would have been, you know, a couple of seasons ago. I think Rodri has stepped up this season and been sort of the Fernandinho replacement. I mean, you know, the one game that neither Rodri nor Fernandinho played in was the Champions League final. So,
and that bit of money arse.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They need someone to bridge the gap between, you know, defence and midfield.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. And Fernandinho's, like, the perfect player who does that. Like, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, he's only just, really, in the past couple of seasons, he's only just sort of coming to his own in that role, really. And he's 36, so.
Maybe he's one of those Pirlo types that, you know, don't get better as they age.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, he definitely has. I mean, you know, he's coming to his own around about 33-ish, I think it's fair to say. The past three seasons he's been good. But, you know, you can't rely on that. I mean, even if he does sign on for another year, like, you know, that's only really delaying the inevitable, because you've got him for another year and then what? So, you know. Well, mind you.
Isn't he?
Go on. What are you saying?
He's their captain, isn't he? So it's more of a morale boost to keep him, isn't it? You know, a locker room leader and such.
Yeah. Well, I think he is. He was the captain, but Diaz has been confirmed as the new captain, though, now. Like, just a few days ago, Guardiola did confirm that. So
Pep has 5 captains, doesn't he?
Because
remember the Premier League, when they had their ceremony, he left 5 captains last. De Bruyne.
Yeah, De Bruyne, Sterling, Gundogan, Walker, Diaz and Fernandinho have all been captain for Man City this season.
Yeah. I don't know how to improve the City side outside of the striker. I guess.
Well, I think it's just a case of replacing who leaves, really.
Okay, yeah.
You know, replacing who leaves. And like, you know, they did with Ferran Torres, just, you know, seeing if there's any good young players available for cheap. Because Torres was a bargain. So, you know, it's a case of looking through, because I'm sure there'll be quite a few players in the French League who will be going for absolute peanuts. So I think it's a case of scouting the French League, seeing who you can pick up for cheap and, you know, developing them.
Have you got any players off your...
None really off the top of my head, because I'm not sure about, you know, individual club finances. I mean, you know, the reason Valencia sold Ferran Torres for cheap was because they're in, you know, a right state financially. So I don't know about, you know, individual clubs, you know, their finances. I just know the French league as a whole is sort of in a bit of a pit because of you know, the TV deal not working out. You know, you've got TV stations refusing to pay the clubs essentially because of you know, coronavirus has meant that more games have been shown on TV, and TV companies have lost out on money, so they're refusing to pay. And it's really complicated. I don't know. I don't really know too much about it. I just know that a lot of French clubs will be struggling. I just don't know which specific ones, so I can't really point out any players and say, oh, yeah, well, he's going to go for cheap. None of them will be PSG players, I can say that. I don't think they're struggling financially.
What the hell Lille was doing? Lost their goalkeeper, manager, a midfielder, and I expect more follow. Like Mannion has gone to Milan. Samara has gone to Leicester. And Nice. They've just won a title. I just find that really weird.
Well, yeah, they've just won a title. But, you know, it's a case of, you know, it's like when Leicester won the league. Like, financially, they still can't compete with the likes of PSG and Monaco. And they can't compete with, you know, the finances abroad. So, you know, they're going to have to sell. It's like when Chelsea bought Kante after Leicester won the league.
Yeah, but why would the manager leave for an even smaller club?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, he said it was for a new challenge, but I don't really get that at all. I mean, the players I can understand selling them, cashing in on them whilst they're, you know, hot prospects. But the manager, I don't understand why he's left, to be completely honest with you.
Weird. I'd like to see Celik in the Prem. I think he'd do well at, like, a West Ham.
I'd
like that. Just very similar to Sufal. And Burak Yilmaz, because I like him.
Yeah, but I mean, Yilmaz is what, like 36, 37?
What?
He's really old, isn't he?
Yilmaz. That old?
So it was like 36.
Brachial mass.
Yeah.
Holy shit, you're right.
What, is he 36?
Yeah. No, he's 35. He'll be 36 next month. But
ah, right.
Jesus.
Why, how old did you think he... How old did you think he was?
I thought he was in his sort of early 30s.
All right. Oh, no, there'd definitely be clubs lining up for him if he was, you know, 30, 31.
Maybe clubs would be after Bamba, Okone, David.
I know that Renato Sanchez has been linked with Wolves as well.
He was good, very good.
Yeah, I mean...
He was one of the players of the tournament at Euro 2016.
2016, yeah. That's why he went to Portland. He sort of, you know, fell off the face of the earth a little bit after that. Obviously, he had his failed loan move at Swansea, but he's really sort of revitalised his career at Lille.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bayern move really didn't work out.
No.
Yeah, I mean, next season, do you think City are going to be favourites?
If I'm completely honest, I don't think City will win the league next season. I think that...
I'm asking who will be favourites for the bookies or you.
Oh, for the bookies, it will definitely be City. Because they always just give it to who won the league previously. Right.
Okay, what about for yourself?
For myself, I don't think City are the favourites.
Okay.
I would say that Chelsea are the favourites to win the league. I think that City will start off slow because of, you know, the disappointment of losing the Champions League final. Sort of like how we saw, I don't think it'll be to as, you know, dramatic a degree, but sort of like what we saw with Spurs after they lost the Champions League final. I think they will be dejected. I think they'll start slow. And I think when you've got, you know, Chelsea are going to push on, really, next season. You're going to have them pushing on. You're going to have Liverpool with Van Dijk back, bringing in Konate, potentially making some other moves as well. They're going to be up there. You know, maybe Man United bringing Sancho, bringing someone like a Pau Torres. You know, they're not going to be pushovers. Maybe even someone like a Leicester. You know, we don't know what business they're going to do besides Sumare, who is a really good deal. You know, so there's going to be all those teams who are going to push on. And with Man City, between losing Aguero, between the disappointment at the Champions League final, I don't think that they'll win the league next season. That's me going out on a limb. I think they'll start slow in a season where you can't afford to start slow.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a very logical approach, yeah.
Because I can't see either Chelsea or Liverpool getting... Well, I can't see Chelsea getting less than 85 points, and I can't see Liverpool getting less than 80 points. So...
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I really, you know... I really do think highly of Chelsea. I think they will win the league next season.
I think a couple of signings and yeah.
Well, I don't even think you need a couple of signings, really. I think you've got a good enough team to win the league now.
Yeah, I mean, I know I sounded confident earlier, but I don't. There's been fixtures we've come out of where I felt we really should have scored more. A bit like City. You know, then there's been like freak results like the West Brom game.
Well, both West Brom games, really.
Well, yeah, even under different managers, yeah. They're down now, aren't they? I want the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah, West Brom got relegated.
Well, we ain't got to worry about them again.
Yeah.
I look forward to the Brentford game because that's going to be somewhat of a rivalry, and also, depending on who they keep, they could be quite a surprise team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fully convinced on Brentford personally. But they could do bits, definitely. I mean, I'm not, familiar at all with London geography. I mean, I'm sure better which is, more of a rivalry than others. I mean,
Well, yeah, the three closest ones are Fulham, QPR, Brentford.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Arsenal and West Ham's a rivalry, a derby, so,
It's just a London derby, yeah.
It's a London derby, yeah.
But that's a South West London derby, so those three.
But yeah, I mean, City are going to have to dust themselves off really quickly, obviously. You've got Kevin De Bruyne, who's out for the Euros, could potentially be out for the start of the season. Aguero's left. They're going to have to...
But he was named by Martinez's... He was named by Martinez.
Yeah, well, that was before
the
Champions League final. I think it's been confirmed that he's not going to be involved in the Euros.
It's a broken cheekbone and orbital bone, isn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say, I knew it was something to do with the eye. Which, it's a big loss for Belgium and could potentially be a big loss for City at the start of the season. So they are going to have to, dust themselves off quickly and get off to a strong start if they're going to have, any hope of keeping up with Chelsea and Liverpool. Otherwise, they are going to be chasing all season.
That fixture list is going to be kind to them or not.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If they start off the season with some tough games, it's going to be difficult for them. But, if any club has the quality to do that, it is definitely Man City. We can't write them off completely, obviously, considering they walked the league this season. But, for me, I wouldn't say they're the favourites.
Should we do like end of season awards?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of categories here. First category, signing of the season. I mean, who have you got down as your signing of the season, Harry?
I'll go Ollie Watkins.
All right. Go on.
Yeah, I think to go the transition from the Championship to the Premier League is hard enough, but then to translate goals-wise, a team that really did start off hot, beating the champions 7-2, having new players around him and such. I think, yeah, he did really well, and is deserving of an England call-up. He did get called up, right?
Well, he got called up to the 33. He didn't make the 26. But he could be back in, depending on who replaces Trent. We'll have to wait and see. You what?
Hopefully a left-back.
Why? Why a left-back?
He's named too many right-backs.
Yeah, but we've got Shaw and Chilwell.
Okay.
I hope it's Ward-Prowse, personally. But, I wouldn't grumble if it's Watkins. There's...
Shit, wait, no. Let me retract that. Ruben Diaz.
Yeah, I was about to say. For me, there were a couple of candidates. I think Edison Cavani on a free was a brilliant signing. I think Fofana to Leicester was a brilliant signing. I think he's been amazing this season. And he'll, only continue to improve. Another free signing, Thiago Silva. He's been great. Players like Ben Godfrey or Matty Cash, players like that, they've been, tremendous signings. But for me, it has to be Ruben Diaz. I mean, he's transformed that Man City defence. He's really solid them up. For me, he is, pretty far and away at the signing of the season.
What's your next...
My next category was flop of the season. So a player who you thought would end up doing a lot better than they have done this season.
So at the beginning of the season, I went for the signing of the season to be Højbjerg. So considering the high expectations, it's him for him, me.
Tower
is, you know, above the likes of, you know, Diaz, Watkins and such. And then to, you know, come out rather bang average.
Yeah, I mean,
that's more of my own fault than him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you know, he has been, he started off well, Højbjerg. I think that, you know, at the start of the season, I think he was, you know, a very solid midfielder. He, you know, played well. He sort of provided that screening. But he definitely did sort of fall off in the second half of the season. And yeah, he's not been, I think he's been fine, but he's not been great. I'll say that. For me, it was a contender between two. It's either Rian Brewster, who, you know, off the back of scoring one in every other game in the Championship, signed for Sheffield United, but he hasn't got a goal in 28 games or whatever it was he's played in, which is, you know, shite. But for me personally, my disappointment of the season has to go to Donny van der Beek. Came into United with high expectations, you know, £40 million. And it's just been a disappointment because he's not really made any impact in this Man United side.
That would be down to the lack of opportunities to do that, I think. You know, than, you know, him playing every game and he's not done much. Because he hasn't had that chance to. Whereas Rian Brewster has, and he's been absolutely shit.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I just think there was more expectation on van der Beek than on Brewster. You know, coming off the back of, you know, brilliant season after brilliant season for Ajax. You know, I mean, he absolutely dominated the midfield for Ajax in that, you know, big Champions League run that they had in 2018-2019. And, you know, he's ended up signing for Man United. And he has barely had an impact. And I think that's why I would give that to him personally.
Okay.
But I do agree that, you know, I do think he should have been given a few more chances, definitely. But yeah, next player is surprise package of the season. You know, someone who's sort of come out of nowhere who has really surprised you with the quality this season. So,
Leeds.
Well, I meant more like a player, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Come back to me.
All right. Well, I mean, for me, personally, I'd say it's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think that, you know, when Ancelotti came into Everton, obviously the second half of last season, he has, you know, we did see an uptick in form. But, you know, I think this season he really has taken his game to a whole other level. You know, I mean, you know, he's been in the England squad, for God's sakes. I mean, I just think he's been brilliant this season, Calvert-Lewin, and he's sort of sprung out of nowhere. And he's really surprised me. I mean, I didn't think he was, the quality of where Everton wanted to be. But he's definitely proven that he can be that. For me, it's Calvert-Lewin.
Okay. Well, piggybacking off my Leeds answer, I'm going to say Bamford. He was shit for us, shit for Middlesbrough, shit for Norwich, shit for Burnley. Pretty hit and miss in the Championship last season. And then this season, he's just, you know, a prowler in the box. 17 goals, 7 assists. I mean, that's crazy for a newly promoted side. And a side that I stupidly put down to put, you know, finish at the bottom three.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to hold that against you. I mean, I know you admit yourself that you don't watch much Championship football. But yeah, I mean, even if you did, I mean, I didn't expect much of Patrick Bamford this season. I mean, you know, I've, you know, thought that they definitely needed to bring a replacement striker. They definitely needed to bring in a replacement striker. And they ended up sticking with Bamford, even over, you know, Rodrigo, who, you know, whilst he wasn't all that this season, you know, they signed him for big money. And yeah, he has proven that he can go at this level, Bamford. Whether that will tick over into next season, you know, remains to be seen. But he's definitely had a quality first season here in the Premier League. Well, not first season, but a quality return season in the Premier League.
What's your next category?
Well, I mean, you know, we've only got a couple left, really. Who is your manager of this season, Harry?
David Moyes, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, there can't be too much debate, really. It just needs David Moyes.
And they gave it to Pep. Yeah. I mean, what's the point in having it if you're just going to give it to the winning manager?
That's what I mean. Like, they just do it all the time, so there's no, you know, I think the last manager who won it that didn't win the league, I think it was Pardew when he got Newcastle to fifth, which shows how long ago that was. But yeah, that, I think it's definitely David Moyes for me. I think, you know, honourable mentions, I think, do have to go to, you know, Bielsa, Thomas Tuchel, who come in. I think if Tuchel was there for the whole season, I think, you know, you could potentially give it to him, but because he was only there for half the season. I think, you know, obviously, as a Burnley fan, I'm going to give credit to Sean Dyche for keeping us up.
Dean Smith.
Yeah, well.
Well, yeah, he turned them from relegation candidates to Europa League hopefuls.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I mean, you know, if you look at the players they signed, I mean, 17th to 11th seems about right. I wouldn't say that they overachieved Everton with the squad that they have.
Well, I reckon people might have still put them as relegation candidates and they survived very comfortably.
Yeah, but, you know, how much of that was down to just, you know, not realising how much impact the signing would have. Don't get me wrong, I think Villa have improved tremendously this season, obviously. You know, no one can deny that. But I'm just saying I'm not sure how much of that is down to Smith himself.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, he's not done well or whatever. You know, it's just, you know. I think he's a decent manager. But I don't think that, you know, you can pin that down on Smith, per se.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're both in agreement that it is David Moyes. So yeah, I mean, yeah, there's just one award left, really, which is Player of the Season. Who was your Player of the Season, Harry?
It's between two. We've already mentioned, so I'll give it to the other guy, Harry Kane.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I think with Diaz winning the PFA Player of the Year award, a lot of people came out in the woodworks and said, you know, oh, Kane was robbed or whatever. I don't think Kane was robbed. I think Diaz definitely deserves to win it. But I think Kane also deserved to win it, really, for different reasons. I mean, you know, top scorer in the Premier League, top assist maker for a Spurs team as well. It's not like he did that for Man City. So, yeah, he's just been, you know, absolutely incredible this season, Kane, as usual. And, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, he plays for Spurs and he's English, you know, because he deserves to be at the top of both club and international football.
Yeah. He needs to move on, as much as I don't know whether that's financially possible or whether his love for Spurs is too strong. Otherwise, he's going to end up as one of those what-if players in the Premier League era.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, to be honest with you, I think that if Kane played for, you know, someone like a Man City, he could have potentially broken Shearer's record. I don't think he'll do that if he stays at Spurs.
No. Christ, De Bruyne to Kane, that'd be. That is a scary thought.
Oh, yeah.
They should do, like, what the MLS do, like a Premier League All-Stars. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. What, and have them play... What, who the fuck do they play? Because they beat everyone.
Well, I think they just play, like, another big team. Like, put them against, like, a PSG. But you have Fernandes and KDB in midfield feeding into Kane.
Yeah. With
one on the left and
Salah on the right. Like,
yeah. That'd be mad.
I mean, there are, you know, obviously other players that you could mention. You know, we already said Salah, you know, basically dragged Liverpool to third almost single-handedly. You know, Gundogan had a breakout season, really. He's another person who could have said for a surprise, really. Fernandes and De Bruyne, like we said, you know, have put in brilliant performances. Even someone like Jack Grealish, you know, played brilliantly. But yeah, for me, it is, you know, it has to be Harry Kane, really. I mean, you know, to get 37 goal contributions in 35 games for Tottenham, that is just incredible.
It does genuinely scare me if he goes to another team that, you know, bigger than Spurs. Particularly scary if he goes to a United or, you know, City. I'd love him to play for us, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think Levy will want to sell for less than, you know, 150 million. And I just don't think he'll want to sell to Chelsea at all. Like, so... Yeah, I personally, I can't see him leaving. Which, you know, is a shame for Kane, because he just, you know, like I said,
came in.
What's that?
What if a foreign club came in?
Would
it be lessened?
Well, realistically, who would come in for him? You know, you've got Barcelona and Real Madrid are both in holes. Bayern Munich have Lewandowski. PSG have Mbappe and Neymar. Juventus are also in a financial hole. So, you know, how many teams realistically could come in for it? Leipzig? You think Leipzig have 150 million to spend?
No, Red Bull does.
Well, yeah, but they're not going to spend 150 million on Kane, are they? That's not in the Red Bull mold, is it?
True, yeah.
You know, they'd rather put that 150 million into 10, 21-year-olds rather than Harry Kane.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they're going to do this, but apparently a present to Ancelotti would be Mbappe. I don't know what they're doing to fiddle that, but...
Yeah, it sounds like bollocks, that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're already in a financial hole. And even if they could manage to do it, you know, I'm sure UEFA's waiting for any chance they can to get Barcelona, Real Madrid and Juventus done for FFP. So,
Atleti?
Do you think Atletico can afford 150 million for a player?
Well, he spent 120 on Yao Felix.
Yeah, well, that was with the Griezmann money.
True. Well, they just won the league. They're going to get a bit of an influx for that.
Yeah, they will, but, you know, are they going to want to spend 150 million of that on Kane? Yeah,
long-term replacement for Suarez that's going to give him an instant impact, yeah.
Well, you said they need a replacement for Suarez. I mean, he's been on fire this season.
Long-term replacement.
Well, is Kane a long-term replacement?
28 versus 34 is, yeah.
I thought he was 29, Kane, and Suarez was 33. I mean, yeah, if you say Suarez goes on for another two seasons, you know, Kane will be 30-31 by that point. You know, is that a long-term replacement? Not really.
Well, yeah, 5 years. For some reason, there seems to be more longevity out of strikers in Spain with the likes of like Aspas. I remember like Adarese at Bilbao years ago.
Yeah.
Jorge Molina. Trying to think of others. Messi. You know, we've mentioned Suarez. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably because of, you know, the differences between Spanish football and the rest of the world. You know, it's more possession orientated, isn't it? You know, they're not having to constantly get in behind defences like they are in England.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to be as quick.
He'd be guaranteed trophies at Atleti in some form.
Would he?
Yeah, like the Spanish Super Cup, El Rey.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
Champions League.
It's
more than you'd get at Spurs.
Yeah, true. But, you know, I don't know. I just can't see him leaving, personally. Like, that's just me. Like,
also, we've seen players leave Spurs to go to Atleti before. Your English.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Bear in mind, though, those players didn't cost 150 million.
yeah, that's true, yeah.
I don't know. I would personally would be shocked if he left Spurs in the summer. I just can't see Levy wanting to sell him to anybody. But, yeah.
I don't think Kane's that sort of player, but or person to give someone like him an ultimatum.
Oh no, well, he's not going to down tools or all like that. Definitely. I mean, you know,
I don't think
as much as he does want to leave, because he's handed in a transfer request, so he does want to leave. But I mean, he's done that before. You know, he clearly does love Spurs. He clearly loves the fans there. Mm-hmm. He just wants to leave, but he's not going to down tools or anything like that. Like you say, he doesn't seem like that kind of player. Definitely. Yeah. I just think he's knackered himself because. Was it a couple of years ago when he signed that 6-year contract or something?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Maybe it might just come down to his way of getting money. You know, new contract gets tabled.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, it could be that kind of move for him. Depends on how England do. I mean, if he does well for them, that certainly puts his stock up then.
Well, really, that would only raise his price.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Put his stock up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but if anything, he'd need his price to lower in order for him to leave.
Why would he want that if the end goal isn't to leave but to get a bigger contract?
Oh, well, if he aims to get a bigger contract, then yeah.
Yeah.
But, I
think that might be his way of doing things then.
Well, you know, it might be, but I mean, you know, if you're Harry Kane, then, you know, you've got Spurs basically in the palm of your hands. You don't need to go in and request a transfer in order to get a bigger contract. I'm sure if you went in and said, can I have a pay rise, when you're the top scorer in the league, you're the top assister in the league, I'm sure that Levy would just say yes. Like,
Yeah, unless he has like an astronomical figure in his head.
Maybe.
Like Messi-esque wages.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's that. I just think it's his ambition. He wants to win trophies. You know, he doesn't want to be known as, you know, the best English player to never win a trophy. You know, so.
I want to...
Because he deserves to win a trophy as well.
Yeah. I want to end this on a tough question.
Go on, then. You end this on a tough question.
Juve brought in Ronaldo to win the Champions League. Has Ronaldo's move to Juve been a flop?
Ugh. Well... I don't know, because how much of Juventus' lack of success can be pinned on Ronaldo? I mean, you know.
Is this a bad season for a guy that scored 36 and 44? I don't know. I suppose for a man of such superhuman qualities getting 50 goals a season, that is, you know, in air quotes, a bad season.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got to consider he's 36 as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's past his peak as Ronaldo. But, you know, to get, in La Liga, you know, his last season he got 44 and 44. You know, but then, you know, once he went to Serie A, he ended up getting 28 and 43. He ended up getting 37 and 46 in his season after that, and then this season he's got 36 and 44. So, you know, that's quite a lot of goals. You know, that's nearly 100 goals he's got for Juventus. In fact, it might even be 100 goals in three seasons.
I believe he's the only player to do 100 plus goals in England, Italy, and Spain.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't think you can class a player who scored 100 goals in three seasons as a flop. I think Juventus' lack of success has been down to other factors not related to Ronaldo.
But you could say that Ronaldo helped guide Real Madrid to, you know, that Champions League success that they're having.
You know, yeah, but it wasn't just down to Ronaldo.
I mean, that's very true.
I mean, you've got to think, you know, they have
some quality of players around him.
I wouldn't say he does. I mean, you know, you've got to think, you know, in his defence at Real Madrid, you know, he had Sergio Ramos. He had Marcelo, one of the best left-backs in the past 20 years. You know, in midfield, he had people like Modric and Kroos in their prime, you know. And up front with him, you know, he had Benzema. When Bale came in, you know, that was one of the best front threes in world football. You know, it was a team of Galacticos at Real Madrid. Whereas, you know, you take Ronaldo out of that Juventus team, and then, you know, you're left with players like Aaron Ramsey, Bernardeschi, you know, the Dybala, you know, players who wouldn't get anywhere near that Real Madrid team of 5 years ago.
Well, I mean, Dybala was very good a few seasons ago.
Yeah, a few seasons ago.
Bentancur, hardly, you know, touted after. You know, Szczesny, one of the best keepers in the world. Chiellini, one of the best centre-backs of all time. Cuadrado, probably the best right-back.
Yeah, you're stretching now when you're, you know, bringing up Cuadrado.
Honestly, he's one of the best right backs this season. Honestly.
Alright.
Well, I don't think... I mean, if you didn't watch the Premier League, I don't think people would be like, Wan-Bissaka was the best right back. What?
Well, he's not.
Well, he's not the best right back in the league at the moment.
No.
For the season. Sorry, that's bad wording.
Right.
You don't think so?
Wan-Bissaka? No.
Who would you say is the best right back?
Cancelo.
Well, I put him left back just to accommodate.
If you do that, I think Trent's had a better second half of the season than Wan-Bissaka's whole season. Think that, you know, I don't know. Like, Castagna, when he played, has been better as well.
Well, let's get back to the question at hand. Do you, in a one-word answer, has Ronaldo been a flop at Juve?
No.
Next
question. What do you think?
Well, I think because the aim was to bring him in for the Champions League, yes, it's been a flop.
Well, yeah, but that's not his fault, though.
No, but that was why they brought him in.
Yeah, and he's done all he can to win him the Champions League. I mean, he's scored on average over 30 goals a season. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like blaming Harry Kane for Spurs being shit.
yeah, but Harry Kane wasn't signed to win them the Premier League. He was part of the system.
Yeah, and Ronaldo, you know, there's no system. There's no good systems anyway. There's no sustainable systems that are built around one person.
But they had Maurizio Sarri prior to Pirlo. I think under such a manager like that, I think you could perhaps say that's a flop. Under Pirlo, I think there's that obviously the pressure's enhanced on Ronaldo. He's a, you know, a year older under a manager that's been signed on the basis of, yeah, he was a good player, but to see how he does at this job. They finished fourth in a really disappointing season, Inter win their first title in 9 years.
Yeah, but I think, you know, that's more down to, you know, that's more down to Aaron Ramsey being a flop. It's more down to
Ramsey wasn't signed to bring in Champions League.
Well, you know, if you're going to sign a player to win you the Champions League, you need to sign more players to win you the Champions League. You can't just sign.
But if you sign Messi, if Chelsea were to sign Messi, you'd be like, all right, win us Champions League. Again.
Yeah, but, like, you know, it'd be like if Chelsea signed Messi and then supported him with players like, you know, Sissoko. Like,
I think, yeah, that's true, yeah. But they did have good players at one point.
Yeah, they had good players, but they didn't have Champions League winning quality players.
Well, okay, Chelsea didn't have any Champions League winning players.
Yeah, and in a normal season, I wouldn't think that that Chelsea would have won the Champions League this season.
We knocked out a Real Madrid that had, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, in a normal season, would you have done that?
Well, no, I don't think we would have done that under Frank. I think we would have been absolutely fucking demolished.
Yeah, but you've got to take into account, you know, you didn't go to Bernabeu. You didn't play in front of Real Madrid fans. You know, that's going to be a huge...
Bernabeu was under construction and it would have been no fans as well.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like, that's... Yeah, that's like, you know...
I really don't think the stadium moving, you know, a couple miles to go to a bigger stadium with no fans would have really done much. If you add fans, then certainly.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is if you add fans.
Territory.
Yeah. Cause, you know, there wouldn't have been no fans in stadium, would there?
No.
You know, if they're doing work on one stand,
and
that stand, but there's still another 60,000 what are there.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You know, I don't think, personally, it's fair to call someone who scored 100 goals in 3 seasons a flop. That's just me. He's done all he can to help Juventus, and the other players have been the ones that have let Juventus down, not Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm. But a player that scores 36 goals in 44 games and you don't even win a Serie A.
Well, you can say a player who gets 37 goal contributions in 35 games and they don't even win the Premier League. They don't even qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah, and we're saying Kane needs to leave.
Yeah. But you wouldn't call Kane a flop, is what I'm saying. If Spurs had signed Kane,
yeah, is Kane on the level of Ronaldo?
Well, no, but, you know, we're on about comparisons here. You know, it's not Kane's fault that Spurs are shite, and I don't think it's Ronaldo's fault that Juventus are shite.
Yeah, but I don't think Spurs have ever had a manager to the level of Sarri.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but that's still not Kane's fault, though, is it? Like,
No, you are correct.
You know, we're not blaming Harry Kane for the fact that Spurs aren't in Champions League. We're blaming players like Eric Dyer. You know, we're blaming players like Doherty, like Reguilón. You know, like Lo Celso. That's who we blame.
So do we switch the blame to Levy and Agnelli then?
Well, yeah, you could arguably do that, you know.
Okay.
I mean, Agnelli clearly has Juventus in the shitter currently. You know, to the fact that, you know, he was begging on live TV for UEFA to let them do the Super League, basically, saying, oh, it's a cry for help. You know, maybe don't give Aaron Ramsey $400,000 a week then.
My next question, and then we'll finish.
Right.
Where will Ronaldo go next? Because I assume this is the end of the road for him after a pretty poor season at Juve. He's carried them on the back to no avail. Where does he go? There's two clubs that are rumoured, and I'm assuming, unless he wants to try something else.
I mean, you got to think, he's not going to be going back to any of his old clubs. He's not going to be going to Real, because they're in the shitter financially. He's not going to be going to Man United, because they're going to go all out with Jadon Sancho. And he's not going to go back to Sporting, because they couldn't afford him. Mm-hmm. So you've got to think, who else could realistically afford Ronaldo? You'd assume that he's not going to go to Man City. PSG could afford him, but I don't think he's going to go to PSG because I think he'd want to be the main man there. And with Mbappe there, he probably wouldn't be the main man. I think, you know, Bayern Munich could maybe afford him at a stretch, but I don't feel got to Bayern Munich. I don't know, to be honest with you.
So, do you think he'll stay?
I think that's his only option, really. I can't see anyone, you know, wanting to take him on. Well, no, not wanting to take him on. I don't see anyone who can afford to take him on wanting to take him on.
Well, then Juve they've gone in a positive direction by rehiring Allegri, but they need to get some really good players in now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, to be completely honest with you, I can see Ronaldo running down his contract. I mean, his contract expires at the end of next season in 2022. I can see him running that out and maybe returning back to Portugal. I don't know. Because, you know, by that point, he will be 37. So, yeah. could see him having a season in Portugal and then retiring, potentially.
I think he'll do like a Beckham move.
What, you mean like to the MLS?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, he seems like the sort of personality that would, you know, really love, you know, living in America, having the MLS there. You know, because he wouldn't have to work hard. Well, not that I'm saying that, you know, he doesn't work hard. He clearly does to be, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. But, you know, he just seems like the person who would love America. So, I mean, I could see that potentially. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he goes into Miami.
They've been shit this season.
They have been pretty shit. I just noticed, like, you know, when you've got players like Higuain, Matuidi, you know, you should be doing better than, like, next to bottom or wherever they are.
It's both Higuains, the shit one and the good one. And they're both brothers.
Yeah. Why? What about you? Where do you think he'll go? Where do you think he'll end up?
I saw Real was rumoured and I saw Man United were rumoured. I don't know how much truth to put into any of those, but I think maybe he stays. But there would need to be some serious promises made by Agnelli to, you know, to get the full confidence. Because, you know, what's his name? Whatever, what's the current manager? I've had a brain dead moment.
What, Juventus?
Yeah.
Allegri?
That's it. I'm getting Allegri and Agnelli mixed up.
Right.
So Allegri coming back, that's a huge boost. Now there needs to be some financial impetus put in to really convince Ronaldo, yeah, this is the place I want to be.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure they'll try that. But, you know, unless they, you know, win the league and go far in the Champions League next season, I think he'll run his contract down, although, to be completely honest with you, I can't. You know, if they have another season like they do this season, I think that he'll definitely be off once his contract expires.
I just found it interesting that some, you know, somebody had suggested he was a flop for the, you know, the single goal of, you know, we don't care how many goals you score, get us, you know, this particular trophy.
Yeah, but personally, I just think that's harsh to, you know, pin that down onto one player when, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You know, how many players have Juventus played this season? They'll have played a good 20, 25, so, yeah, it's harsh to pin it down on Ronaldo. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's pretty much it, really. I mean, this has been a real long form, you know, end of season treat for you all. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Where can the people find you on social media, Harry?
Twitter at HazardTweets10.
That's great. And you can find me at Chris_BFC. And you can follow the podcast at AntiFootballPod. That is it for us this season. You will probably hear some Euros content coming out over the next couple of weeks. You know, we're both really excited about that. But yeah, that is it from us for this club season. Anyway, and we'll see you next time.